John Voltu, he loves you.
This week sees the 6th anniversary of the death of Pope John Paul II and the release of updated information concerning the logistics for his beatification ceremony on May the 1st. Church organisers say they're expecting at least 300,000 people to attend the beatification mass in and around St. Peter's Square, but say the Eternal City is ready to welcome other pilgrims who want to come to Rome. They deny earlier press reports that every hotel is booked out.
The world needs more than just social reformers. It needs saints.
The much-loved Polish-born Pope, who shortly will be declared a blessed, died on April the 2nd, 2005. All those who were in Rome at the time vividly recall the extraordinary scenes when millions of mourners flocked to the city from all over the world to pay their respects to his body. John Allen works for the National Catholic Reporter and is one of the US's leading commentators on Catholic affairs. He looks back at the figure of the late Pope and shares with us his own memories of that extraordinary April 6 years ago.
Well, I think for those of us who watched those events unfold in Rome, the kind of indelible impression that stays with you is just that tidal wave of humanity that poured through the streets of Rome and poured through St. Peter's Square in those days. What was so remarkable about that experience weren't just the massive numbers. I mean, that, of course, was imminently predictable. This was one of the global superstars of his time, a man who inspired not only deep spiritual devotion, but even among non-Catholics and non-believers, enormous respect for his contributions across a wide range of issues. So the fact that there would be a massive global response to his death was hardly a shocker. But I think what was most surprising was this enormously prayerful atmosphere in the crowd that with a crowd that size, you just don't expect. And I think it was incredibly striking. I'll tell you one story that I think brought home the spirit of that experience for me. I was doing the color commentary for CNN, and so, you know, one of the things you do in these experiences is you look for the Americans in the crowd and you do interviews with them. We found a guy who had come over from Chicago. He had heard that the Pope had died, had packed a bag and got on a plane. He was expecting to pay his respects to the body, spend 2 or 3 days in Rome, and then go home. Instead, he landed at Fiumicino, got in a taxi, went to St. Peter's Square, stood in line for almost 48 hours in order to try to get his those fleeting few seconds in front of the Pope's body. And then given his schedule, he had to get back in a cab as soon as he was done with our interview, go back to Fiumicino, and go home. And he told us it was the most powerful experience of his life. And I think in microcosm, that was the story of those days, just the kind of ineradicable spiritual connection people felt with this man, which was multiplied by millions of times. It was a remarkable period of time.
Well, since then, we've had 6 more years go on. We've had almost 6 years of Pope Benedict and his pontificate. And, you know, he's been doing new things and time has marched on. How much is the memory of Pope John Paul still just as alive?
Well, I think John Paul II was one of those sort of rare players on the global stage whose memory, it may dim slightly, but his star still burns fairly bright and probably will for some time to come. And I think proof of that would be, first of all, the fact that media organizations around the world are gearing up to cover the beatification as if it's Game 7 of the NBA Finals or as if it's the World Cup Final. There is a wide consensus that this man was a newsmaker and remains a newsmaker. So I think in the court of popular opinion, you still have that. But in terms of internal Catholic reactions, let's not forget that we now have an entire generation of younger bishops, of priests, and of lay people who would explicitly describe themselves and think of themselves as John Paul II Catholics. I mean, in effect, the generation that is now coming into leadership in the church is the John Paul II generation. So I think, if nothing else, that in itself is a kind of guarantor that the John Paul's stamp on the church is not about to lose its hold.
Okay, looking back at the man himself, what for you were his greatest gifts, his most lasting legacy?
Well, when you start talking about the legacy of John Paul II, the question really is, where do you begin? Because it is so profound across such a wide range of areas. I mean, we can start with the obvious, his role in the collapse of communism, his groundbreaking pioneering successes in outreach to other religions, in particular to Judaism and Islam. And I think that merits a moment's pause, because if you think about the staggering historical improbability of that he would manage to be a pioneer both in relations with Jews and with Muslims at the same time, in a world in which that's usually a zero-sum game. That is, a step towards the Jews often comes at the expense of your relationship with Muslims and vice versa. The fact that he was able to do that in the same historical moment is really quite remarkable. In terms of his impact inside the church, one could talk about a great many things, but I think fundamentally what John Paul will be remembered for is sort of restoring the Catholic swagger, that is the sort of pride and self-confidence in being Catholic, after a period in the 70s when that seemed to dim somewhat. Now, you know, obviously, that sense of boldness and brashness and pride in one's Catholic identity has suffered a great deal in the years since because of the sexual abuse crisis. But it is still there in that generation of John Paul II bishops and priests and lay activists, in a way that simply didn't exist prior to his papacy, the beginning of his papacy in October 1978. So in virtually every sense one could imagine, I think, his impact was deep and profound and lasting.
And when you use the word lasting, I think also of his travels. He was, of course, by far the most traveled pope in history. And we can't really imagine now a pope that wouldn't travel, right? I mean, he's laid down the standard on that.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, in the old days, and of course by the old days now, I'm talking about prior to Pope Paul VI, it was sort of a revolution if the pope ever left the Vatican. And Paul VI, of course, took a small number of highly symbolic voyages to the different continents, and that laid the template. But it was John Paul II who brought all that to fruition. You'll recall at the beginning of his papacy, John Paul said that he felt himself not merely to be the successor of St. Peter in the sense of the governor of the universal church, but also the successor of St. Paul, that is, the evangelist and the missionary who had hit the highways and byways of the world to try to bring the gospel to the people. And he clearly did that. What I remember as a Vatican reporter is that in the twilight of John Paul's papacy, that is, his final years, prior to every trip, we would always write stories about the pope's health and how there were worries that this trip might compromise his health. By the end of the trip, we would inevitably be writing stories about how much better he seemed. And the point there is that I think John Paul II actually drew energy from the road. I mean, he was the kind of populist leader who needed to be out there in the streets and in the marketplace in order to come alive. And it was quite remarkable on those final trips. Day one, you would always see him frail and tired and struggling to complete his texts. By the end, he would always seem a new man, and I think in microcosm, that was the story of his papacy. He was a pope who drew energy from contact with the world.
I was speaking to John Allen, senior correspondent for the National Catholic Reporter and Vatican analyst for CNN.
Hey, John Paul, we can finish the race for you. Hey, John Paul, we can carry the flame within. Taught us how to forgive the past. Taught us about saying sorry. Taught us how to carry the flame.